Our scripture for today comes from Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. This is after what we looked at last week in the same chapter. Jesus sums some things up here about his life and about what he expects of others. So starting in verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." We have a summary statement that this whole passage starts with about Jesus and about what Jesus has been doing as he's been going about visiting from town to village to town to village. He had a custom of going to the synagogue on Sundays and sharing about what was going on in God's kingdom. He was always about sharing. He was always about teaching. And I think as I read these Gospels, when he was doing this, people were amazed. They were amazed with what he was sharing and what was going on. We also have here in this passage that he was about healing people and helping people. And in experiencing God this morning in the video, we got to listen to the story about the Pool of Bethesda and the one man that day that Jesus healed. There was a multitude there, but there was one that he healed that day. And the Pharisees spent an awful lot of time talking to this man. The man had not walked in 38 years, and Jesus walked up after asking him, "Do you want to be healed?" And some of us might go, "Well, that's kind of a silly question," but it's not. Because some people don't want to move out of where they are. They have become comfortable where they are. And the man says, "I have no one to help me." And Jesus just tells him, "Well, pick up your mat and go home then." And he picked up his mat after not walking for 38 years and walked home. And the Pharisees gave him a hard time for that. "How did you know how to do this? Why did you do that?" But see, Jesus is traveling around doing this from place to place. Just as Jesus was going from place to place and working in the midst of this world, one of the things I want you to understand is that God is still reaching out to people, inviting them into a personal love relationship. God is still about doing this work. God is still reaching out to people, trying to call people into a loving relationship with God, one that's personal. Your walk with God is different than my walk with God. It's meant to be personal. But as you've heard me share before, your walk with God should never be private. It should never be private because other people need to hear the story. Other people need to know the change that God has made within you. Other people need to see what is it that God does. And it's as we see this happen in other people that we get a little bit more curious, don't we? I know I did. I saw it happen in three guys who lived in the dorm with me, and they were different. But there was something about them being different that I wanted to know what it was. And you see, that's because God is always still reaching out, inviting people into a loving, personal relationship. Always. God is still doing that for each and every one of us even now. God is reaching out to you. You may have known God for a year, 5 years, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. You may have known God that long. God is still reaching out to you, trying to pull you into a deeper personal love relationship. For me, this is what the Bible is about. The Bible is about God saying, I want a relationship with you. And I want that to be a daily and an ongoing thing. And God shows up every day to love on us even further. Every day. God shows up to love on us. Our problem is sometimes we're too busy to let God love on us. We're busy because we got to get this done, and we got to run over here and do that, and we got to do this, and we got to do that, and we got to accomplish this week, and we miss the chance to see how much God's trying to love on us. And so that's why you always hear me encourage you to slow down. To slow down. Because God just wants to love you. And sometimes it's hard to hit a moving target. And as God looks down upon this world, as it happened here in this passage also, God sees the hurting people and has compassion for them. I know that there would be many in the world that say, I doubt that God sees what I'm going through. And I doubt that God cares what I'm going through because I've suffered for a long time in this place and God hasn't done anything to fix it. I want to let you know the teaching of Scripture is that God has compassion. God is looking down upon people and saying they're running aimlessly about and they don't have a shepherd. They're running from place to place, and they don't realize how much I love them. They're running from place to place, and I can't even catch up with them. Read an article this morning from the BBC that a shepherd in England got in trouble for herding his dogs. Herding his sheep with a dog. And I was like, okay, wait a minute. I got to read this article. I thought that's what sheepdogs were to help you do. And what happens is in England, you're allowed to herd sheep with dogs, but the dog can't do it by itself. The shepherd has to be in the field with the dog. Otherwise, they see it as harassing the sheep. And this guy got in trouble for letting his dog harass the sheep. And then I got deeper into the story. And what had happened was some of these sheep had gotten out of the field where the shepherd was with the sheep. And the shepherd sent the dog out to get them back into the field. So somebody saw the sheep out of the field, and they saw the dog chasing them, and they did not see the shepherd. And they assumed the dog was just harassing the sheep. So this gentleman got charged with harassing sheep because he's trying to round up his own. You know, there's many stories in the Scriptures about Jesus coming out to find those who are lost and to bring them back to a place where they can eat well, where they can have peace and they can have comfort. Maybe you would say I wasn't far afield, but I know I was. I was definitely far afield, and God had to send more than just a sheepdog out to get me. And I can personally tell you, I remember my first year of college asking God to stop harassing me. I actually said a prayer, kneeling at my bed before I knew God, and said, God, it's time for you to harass someone else. Leave me alone. You know what I'm glad of? I'm glad that God didn't answer that prayer. That God still reached out. That God still had compassion. That God still wooed me into a love relationship with God. God said, maybe that's the way you feel, Tim, but I just want a love relationship with you. And God continued to reach out to me. And over the course of the next year, I realized that that wasn't harassment. That God wasn't seeking me out to punish me, but God was seeking me out to have a relationship with me because God had compassion because I was hurting. I want you to think back on your life. Has God been doing that for you even now? Some of you I know because I've sat down and talked with you and where you are and what's going on in your life. And sometimes you hurt. That's going to happen to all of us. I want you to know that God has compassion. And God is currently reaching out saying, I want a deeper love relationship with you. Now, one of the things I know from 30 years of ministry now is that there are people ready to respond, yet they need somebody to help them. They don't know what the next step really is. They don't understand what the next step is. As a younger teenager, I had some kind of belief in God. Not one that was theological, not one that I could have written down doctrinally, but I had some concept and some understanding of God, even though I never went to church until I was 19. Even though I didn't have a Bible until I was 16, and then when I got it, I didn't know how to read it. And it was written in a language I couldn't understand. I knew that God was working in my life. I knew that God was pulling on me. I knew that God wanted something more in a relationship with me, but I had no idea how to take the next step. None. Because, see, I'd never been to church where there was an altar call. Nobody ever explained to me that Jesus Christ died for my sins. Nobody. I did not hear that until I was 19. And I know many might say, well, how can that happen with churches everywhere? It's still happening today. There are people out there that are ready to respond. They are ready to start a relationship with God, but they don't know how to get there. They don't have a map, and they don't have a guide. But God's already working in their heart because God wants a love relationship with them. God's already doing something in their lives to draw them ever closer to God, but they need help. Now, how do I know this still exists? Jesus says, the harvest is what? Plentiful. The harvest is plentiful. To this day, the harvest is plentiful. We heard a story this morning in the video for Experiencing God about a gentleman in a Muslim country who heard God speak to him to start a church. And when Richard Blackaby went to share with them a message, there was over 1,000 people at that church in a Muslim country. And it started from one man reaching out and telling people how to respond. Folks, there are people outside the walls of the church that want to know God in a personal, loving relationship, but they don't have anyone to help them. They don't have anyone to help them know what to do. I know some of you would say, well, we just need to get them a copy of the Sinner's Prayer, and they need to pray the Sinner's Prayer, and they'll be okay. Well, maybe so, but wouldn't you want to help them along the way too? Develop that relationship with God. Some of the things that we're doing, Breakfast Church is one of those things. Imagine my surprise last Thursday. I'm walking through the parking lot at Food City. We only go to Food City to shop when Deanne lets me go. She likes another grocery store. And as I'm going through the parking lot, somebody honked at me in a very nice pickup truck. So being a pastor, I know that you're just supposed to wave and say hi. Because I don't know who it is. I have a hard time seeing through windshields. The glare on windshields makes it impossible almost for me to see into a vehicle. Not out of a vehicle, okay? Into a vehicle. I had no idea who it was. It was one of the gentlemen I sat with at the Breakfast Church. He was so excited to see me. Talked to him for a few minutes, and then I realized a day or so later, you know, I could have done more to talk to him better than I did. So I'm waiting to walk through the parking lot again so he can honk at me one more time. I mean, he was a wonderful gentleman to have breakfast with. Absolutely wonderful. I enjoyed sitting and having breakfast with him. I told you last week, I have never laughed that much at breakfast. Because Deanne and I don't talk to each other at breakfast. That's why I don't laugh then. We're in our mode in the morning to get going and get ready to get out the door and do what we need to do. But I sat with two guys and had a blast. But I was surprised. He honked at me. And he wanted to talk to me because I had spent some time with him. I don't know where he is in his relationship with God. He told me that he goes to church somewhere. But I got a feeling when we do Breakfast Church next month, it's going to really surprise me if he lets me sit at any other table. Matter of fact, I'm not sure that I want to. I want to sit down with him and his friend that were there together so I could get to know them better, to find out where they are in their spiritual journey. Well, Jesus tells us here in this passage that there are people out there ready to respond. And then he tells the disciples what they must do because of that. And he tells them, Jesus asked them to pray for people to step out into the world to reach those who need Jesus, who need God. He says, I want you to pray that there will be more workers. Now, traditionally, for us Baptist missionary-minded folks, we pray for somebody to be a missionary to go out to another country. We pray that they will understand. But I want to tell you, there's people in this town that are ready to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. We can't just be sending people on the other side of the world. Beside the fact, some of you would say, I can't go to the other side of the world. I'm not physically able to. It just wouldn't work for me. I can't learn another language, although some of you do speak some languages I don't know. I can tell when I talk to you. Folks, there are people that need Jesus right here in this town. And Jesus says the first thing that we should be doing is we should be praying for workers to be able to go out in the field and harvest what's already there because it's ripe. It's ready, but they need some help. Maybe we should consider this question. Can I be an answer to this prayer? Jesus says, pray that more people will work in the harvest fields, that more people will be out there helping people come into a love relationship with God. Pray that God will send more people. I wonder, can we be an answer to that prayer? By praying, are we asking God to put fire to our feet and move us? By praying, are we asking God to step out of our comfort zone and sit down and have a meal with somebody that we never met before? That they might end up with a love relationship with God. By praying, are we asking God that when our neighbors are outside, we talk to them instead of just walking by? Dan and I have developed a mile loop in our neighborhood where we live without getting out on Cove Road, because Cove Road is pretty dangerous to walk on because some of you drive there. And on Cove Road, there's no sidewalk except on the bridge going over the interstate, and half the time it's on the wrong side of the road. My walk around the neighborhood, if we just straight walk it, takes about 25 minutes to walk that mile. If neighbors are outside, it can take an hour. Is that worth it? Is that worth it to talk to them and to spend some time developing a relationship with them that eventually I can talk to them about God wants a love relationship with you? Is it worth it? Is it worth it taking 10 more minutes in the grocery store because you actually stop and talk to somebody? That you actually talk to the cashier? And when you come back next week or 2 weeks later, you try to get the same cashier so you can talk to him again. Folks, Jesus is asking us to pray for more people out there to do the harvest, and I think that we can be an answer to our own prayers. I know, I've been a pastor for 30 years, and people love to come to me and say, Pastor, here's a wonderful idea of what the church should be doing. And I look at them and say, you have permission to do it. And I've had many people look at me and say, no, I was thinking about such and such doing that. Well, then how come such and such didn't get the idea to do that, but you did? Maybe you're the answer to your own concern and your own prayer. Did you ever consider that? And in almost every case, people have looked at me and said, nope, it's not me. Maybe they need to read the story of Moses again. Because what did Moses say at the burning bush to God? Nope, it's not me, God. You got the wrong person. Isn't that what Moses said at the burning bush? You got the wrong person. Folks, if we're praying for people to talk to the people that are ready to accept Christ, I think we can be an answer to our own prayers by getting out there and talking to those people. What do you think? What do you think about that? Because this is what I believe. You can be a harvest field worker. But the question is, will you? You can be a harvest field worker. I am confident of that. But will you? There's people out there ready to accept Jesus. Will you just let them stay in that state in hopes that somebody else will talk to them? Or will you talk to them? Let's pray. Lord, walking the spiritual life is not an easy thing. It's difficult, and oftentimes we really would love to see other people be about the spiritual work. And the truth is, Lord, you may be asking us to be part of that spiritual work. We're praying for you to send more harvest workers because the fields are ripe and ready. And Lord, maybe we're noticing that they're ripe and ready because you're asking us to be part of the harvest. Guide us in a way that we're not always so busy that we can't stop for a few moments and talk to somebody about Jesus. Because there's people out there that want to know more about Jesus and want to make a response, but they don't know how to. So Lord, help us that we can be the people that help them come into a loving, personal relationship with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.